And welcome, welcome, welcome to this end of this week. I almost said end of the day, but yeah, it is end of the day, but nonetheless, it is end of the week in terms of our final session of the Business and Economic Zone here on your number one talk radio station. And I hope you guys did enjoy your Friday somewhat. Now, as mentioned, as we are at the end of this day and also this week, we're going to be looking at some key components, but it's actually where we also left off in our Wednesday session of the Business and Economic Zone, that being something close to the aspect of climate change. Well, it is actually in the broader category of climate change, but it leads us into that discussion. Now, Wednesday night session had me talking about a component in terms of, you know, one or two directions with regards to crop cultivation or crop livestock or not crop livestock. There's no such thing as crop livestock. Agriculture in the sense of crop cultivation, wherein the notion in terms of looking at not being dependent upon rain or not having rain-dependent agricultural seasons, especially crop cultivating seasons. Obviously, your process has to follow from rainy season to rainy season to avoid that component. And it was born out of a very, 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 very awesome. And I say awesome with all sincerity in terms of that it was an awesome idea based upon the article that my colleague Inomena Erastus had written in, I think it's Monday night's edition of the Village E paper. And it's an awesome idea, this creation. And the second one also to back another such wonderful idea up in terms of, looking at food security going ahead for our country is something that came out of especially the Capricorn Foundation. In terms of looking at, the avoidance of food wastage, or avoiding wasting food. Now, as I'm capping off this week in tonight's session with regards to the climate discussion, and believe me, guys, the climate discussion will still be there. It's not like the climate is running away anytime soon or it's changing into a different outfit anytime over the next weekend. No, the climate will do so. I mean, just look at what happened this past Friday, this entire course of the day. Yesterday, the wind decided to blow after some, slightly very, 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 very mildish weather conditions. And then we end up with a little bit of a cold front here on Friday. So it does still point towards oddities, continued phenomena in our weather patterns, as well as also in terms of also how the temperatures are constantly have been fluctuating throughout the month of August. But, let me not digress on that discussion. Now, food security, guys, has been most of Africa's major, drives, because it has been plural. I mean, everywhere from the ancient countries with ancient civilizations like Egypt, Sudan, Libya, Tunisia, not Morocco, Eritrea and Ethiopia and Somalia. Though that cluster of countries predominantly, they are one of the first indications in human history that looked at crop cultivation through, ingenious or very advanced irrigation methods spanning from the Nile River itself. Obviously, here in Namibia, the situation is not that we do have a river that runs straight through Namibia. Nah, we've got aquifers at the bottom, below subterranean, which is subterranean, below ground. We have only rivers. The only rivers that flow are rivers that form part of our natural borders to the south and to the north. Nothing on the east. Definitely. And a massive coastline with a very cold weather system to the west. Now, I draw your attention to the discussion with regards to food security, because food security, guys, and this still stems back. And remember, you can take it from not being dependent upon a specific weather pattern or to avoid weather patterns in terms of production to migrating into a food security component. Now, food security has actually started making a lot more noise in the past 4 years here in our country. I say the last 4 years because we're looking at heightened or increased heat on the planet. Increased heat means that water evaporates a lot quicker. So it could pose dam levels in our country. Not it could pose. It could indicate towards us the threat in terms of what our water resources, firstly, the freshwater resources, could be facing in the next couple of years, meaning that increased evaporation or rates of evaporation or increased evaporation rates actually will put a bigger strain on us, on our urban settlements, because that means we will not be able to just have water for ourselves and also water for agriculture and water for anything else that also needs water in our country, meaning there will actually be some form of competition taking place. Now, I stress this because in one part, a specific corner in our economy is unhappy with regards to the green schemes. And if you still stay on the green stem component, a lot of communities. Now, remember, I'm stressing a difference between a corner and communities, because a corner was a business community. A community, what I stress with regards to this, is a broader community sense. Communities that included villages or towns around and bordering onto and associated to a lot of these green schemes. Now, green schemes, guys, need water, right? Not salt water. They need fresh water. Fresh water, if you want to know the difference between salt water and fresh water.
Kukuruga na yowamba, kukuningsa ozere, nukse spika nompito domgara mokagura mkisigemeke. Ramangako, uwera o HIV. Ayo kukupoperan, tani kuiruga na maokoko. Tokoras gara, ninkawa kukuruga na yowamba. Mokutura mwe hundiro liye yowamba zuma okoko, ndimo guanakoma pukuru gomanzi. Tumako WhatsApp kwa numero zoe utantandatu zime, tatwe utantane, mbali ntambali, mbali ntane. Ndidingura kwa Facebook, kwa VMMC Namibia.
Now we come back from that quick break right there. And where I wanted to end off in terms of just before the ad actually crept up on me was the difference in terms of what everything on this planet wants, except for animals that live in the ocean or that are sea animals, is that animals that live on land, and that includes us humans as well, because we are also part of the animal category. We all need fresh water. We cannot live off seawater. We need fresh water. Now, fresh water is unfortunately becoming a scarcer and scarcer commodity, because it later on is going to become a commodity that you've got to pay into. What do I mean by this? Well, with the rest of the year coming on, and also looking at the next 5 years heading up until 2030 at the highest, there will be bigger competition between various industries. Now, I stress this in terms of just drawing you the picture and not drawing you or indicating to you any sort of alarm, but it is actually a picture that points towards alarm. It does do that. It does point to an alarm. The scenario is when the Earth's surface becomes warmer, and I mentioned it already, evaporation rates will increase. Associated to that is people, and obviously any land-based animal, will become thirstier, meaning we will start drinking more water. We will need more fresh water. Now, more fresh water means there will be more or increased usage, more and increased wastage as well that you can add into that. And waste is always something that is always a byproduct of human societies. There's almost no way of ignoring or getting rid of waste. There is some form of waste that humans create or urban settlements create. We do create waste. We do create waste. But I'm still on the water aspect. But with increased temperatures, meaning it becoming warmer, increased evaporation rates continuing, us drinking more water in order to stay cooler increasing, there will come a threshold. And this is a threshold in terms of carrying capacity with regards into our country, whereby farmers, urban settlements, conservation areas with fauna and flora, meaning plants and animals, or game, and indigenous plant species, will be competing with each other. It'll look like a little, you know, tri-star scenario, a little, you know, trio scenario. Because on the one side, and you have to add this in terms of a socioeconomic discussion point, because on the one side, we have various projects that aim to uplift Namibia in terms of achieving a food security component. Then we've got various projects that aim to achieve a mass housing component. Remember, mass housing is still there, or the aim towards providing the elusive mass housing component. I say elusive because, I mean, we are 32 years later and it's still not sorted out. Let's just face the facts. Now, that still has to be addressed, mass housing. Then on the other side, we've got projects that aim to increase Namibia's manufacturing capability, whether it be value addition in one sense or it being an entire manufacturing complex being established. And then we've got an agricultural complex minus the fishing. I say minus the fishing because fishing is associated to one or other form of manufacturing. Fishing automatically has a value addition component to it. So it needs freezing and it needs canning and it needs sorting. So it does, it's almost like it has a sense of urgency in its own production or means production. That's the thing now with fishing. So let's put fishing aside. Now we stand with agriculture on the one side. And then second on that is also, you then get the mining complex. Now mining minus fishing as well is a bit different. You see, guys, mines, and this is one of the things that we also do not add in, mines need water. Mines have a lot of machinery associated to their process. Now you can put mining and agriculture together in terms of their water intensive practices to some extent. To some extent, I stress. And then you see these various clusters, each with a competitive point or a competitive ethos. I can't say ethos. With a competitive philosophy attached to it. Now, a mass housing project needs water on two fronts. Firstly, you need water to construct. And then you need water to connect. Because you can't just be building brick and mortar houses or in whatever other advanced format of construction. Nothing I've heard so far in terms of constructing a building, I've not heard or seen anything that says we do not use water. Water might be just be used in either smaller scales or smaller quantities, but water is still used in the manufacturing process. And then lastly, you've got to connect water to new developments. Now understand and picture this. We take it from two directions. Firstly, when new developments have been constructed, they use a specific quantity of water. Now, depending on how big, how many units or how many or the size of this construction area is, water has to be budgeted for. To connect, for example, let's say if it's in the capital, Windhoek, urban area or an urban settlement that has major water availability constraints of water availability issues. So you then need to budget for each development. Doesn't matter where it is. Doesn't matter if it's the guys from Ongos Valley on the other side of the informal settlements on your way to Dunfermline, or whether it's the nice looking extensions here to Ochumise, that border onto that highway that runs to Dunfermline, or whether or not you are building on the way out to Groothoop, or you're building on the way out to Elisenheim, or you're building on the all the way out into all the way to the airport here 30 kilometers east, water will still be budgeted for, or will still have to be budgeted for by the city of Windhoek. Now the city is being fed by three freshwater sources, and these are, you can call these actually like three little dams or three dams. Windhoek is being fed by three dams. There is a water table, technically an aquifer, below Windhoek, but you can't also access it because it provides a strategic support base. And there's also a hot water spring below Windhoek. Now this poses a major question. And if you come and tell me, yeah, then just pump the water, you can't just pump the water because you'll have an engineering catastrophe on your hands. So if you are thinking about just pumping the water, please, that should be the last of any decision ever. Now, a housing project, or just construction industry in itself, has its competitive advantage that it presents, meaning it presents people with housing as well as also forms of employment and so on. You can mention them all, but these are socioeconomic implications that have both, well, in most cases, it can be quantified to be positive to an extent. However, everyone forgets the environmental or climate discussion. You then get into an agricultural complex, the agricultural one, wherein various ministers that have been in charge of the Ministry of Agriculture would say, let's be food secure. It's easier said than done. And this is a reality. Now, I'm not even going to go close to the green schemes. No. I'm just going to indicate to you that the green schemes and various agricultural processes are not actually assisting in the climate discussion of our country. If you come and tell me, yeah, what do you mean, Dwight? I say, what do I mean? I will just give you the most basic example because of Namibia's natural environment. Every plant species, and I mentioned this already on Tuesday or on Wednesday night session, every plant species and every animal every natural animal or wild animal in Namibia has evolved to survive in a naturally arid place known as Namibia. The only country with two deserts in it. A naturally arid place. Naturally arid. Now, the first question that you obviously have to ask yourself is, well, if a wild animal is indigenous to this piece of land, to this country, and there are many studies out there that have indicated wildlife is suited. The wildlife you find in Namibia is suited to Namibia's conditions. But how many times have we seen the horror stories of cattle farmers, especially cattle and livestock farmers? When a drought hits, they cry. They literally cry. They are sad because investments died of thirst. Now, it's not essentially thirst when you come to livestock. Remember, it just means that there is no grazing. You see, you can give a farm animal all the water, but they need grazing because the idea of a farm animal or of livestock is for them to maintain a specific physique that makes them look well fed. Now, obviously, if you base it upon the principle of what starch does to a human, yes, starch. Starch is actually one of the things that converts sugars, or starch, since starch comes from things like maize, bread, and some cereals. Starch gets converted into a sugar because the basic energy source for your body is sugar. If it's not sugar that it gets, then it becomes protein. But if you eat too much starch and your body sees there's too much supply, it converts the starch or that little basic block known as a sugar particle into another energy source. They convert it into little fat globules. A fat globule is then stored all around your organs and also underneath your skin. Now, it's the same theory that farmers apply to livestock. So you want some plump, fattened, fresh-looking, healthy livestock. Because the more tonnage that cow has on them, the more money you can get. It's about the weight of the animal. How much is on the animal? It's the basics of animal husbandry in terms of livestock farming. It's the basics. The bigger your animals are in terms of what you rear or in terms of what you, you practice, the more money you can get for a bigger animal. Small animals don't always get so much money. That's why you've got those massive cow breeds or cattle breeds like the Brahman. I think the Simmentaler is another one. The Hereford is probably also just as big, also just as bulky. The Hereford cow. I know because my uncle had Herefords. Or he was Brahman to an extent. But still right there. Now we'll quickly come back after the short break and then we'll continue.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
The International University of Management, IUM, witete umbo no namba no kushive fakuja umaintirorongo odurataya academic year 2023 ukapatruka enderera paife ulikole paparoe mo education ukarolongi fikora ile ukufe o health and social science oshoma ifano information and communication technology o strategic management and leadership na taimonika no tourism osho hospitality and event management business administration ikuterera Environmental Studies and Postgraduate Studies at Shota de Monica. Wherede, Oto Monica ko website www.ium.edu.na. Iro tadere po embiro da IUM, tikuli po pepe. Mo venduka, mo nkurenguru, mo nkwediva, no mo mpae, Ota de Monica. Wherede to hangi kongo je ya venduka. 061 ongodi ne natonatu oma veri hamano inda komesho kufeto korori rimonjira toiko mbona kui wainerao pamwena IUM.
Now as we come back from the discussion, or just not the discussion, the short break right there, the key thing in terms of just where I left off before the break was bigger animals means that they need to eat more and they need to drink a lot more water. So they will have a higher demand in terms of looking after them. Now, I'm not even going to touch or come close to the scenario in terms of what the COP26 guys were trying to indicate to countries like Brazil, Argentina, Australia and the United States with regards to their industrial agricultural complexes in terms of how a farting cow is an issue. No, I'm not even going to be there. I'm not even going to be there. I'm going to be on a plane that is closer to home. A plane that describes the scenario in our country. Now, you see, even though we might have the major arguments and discussions with regards to things like farmers or livestock producers that don't have access to specific markets, that are restricted because of something known as the red line, or that suffer from various outbreaks of not just foot and mouth disease, but also any other kind of disease that agricultural animals or domesticated animals would be suffering from in this current or just this past 2 years of you know, just observations. Now I say, and I say this with a bold face, the main thing is not about worrying about something like the red line in our country. The main thing that we need to be worrying about is what we do with the scarce resources that will be put under strain. You see, just in last month, in one of the discussions I had here on the Business and Economic Zone with regards to the statistics that came through with regards to the first consignment or the first delivery of beef by Northern Communal Area farmers or producers to Ghana, which is a wonderful initiative. I mean, it's another access point, it's another market access point that we factored into. And this all forms part of the free trade agreement, or the message of the free trade agreement on the continent, which is all noble. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. But when I read the statistics about how much cattle is on the other side of the red line in the NCA areas and how many cattle is below the red line, and I'll stress it again, the concern should not be about the red line existing. The concern is about carrying capacity. Carrying capacity. Now, I know, because I also read the same statistic that indicated that there was no access point. There was no outlet, you know, no place to sell the amount of cattle that was stuck in the NCA areas, because let's face it, there was technically some sort of an embargo. It's an embargo. You can't sell your meat anywhere else in the country. You can't transport the animal anywhere else for further processing, for fears of either transmitting or carrying forward or transporting some form of animal disease. I know, guys. But the concern right there was, why was this not done earlier? Why was this outlet to another kind of market not sought for earlier? And to ask that question now is a little bit late, yes. But here's the thing that will happen with especially areas like the NCA, that firstly are restricted in terms of the amount of land available, and secondly, the quantity of carrying capacity that the land can support, meaning the amount of cattle or the amount of domesticated animals or agricultural animals that it can support. And in between there, you've got burgeoning urban settlements that want to expand and grow and still continue to grow. And those urban settlements will need water. But at the same time, because it's the northern communal areas, with the word communal being the key phrase there, because if you look at a communal setup, everyone needs to make use of the resources sort of like in a very controlled manner, because everyone needs to look to the future in terms of that the resource lasts for as long as possible. And once again, if you come tell me about an aquifer or hitting holes into an aquifer, you are spelling, or you are trying to indicate to some sort of a doom prophecy, because aquifer, just draining the water from an aquifer for surface needs is us walking on the surface of the earth. For surface needs is also a recipe for some sort of disaster. And I stress that disaster point in Wednesday's session because the article that has to do with aquifers, indicated by this hydrogeologist from South Africa, Gatir Mahed, where he said Africa's aquifers are not being protected as they should be. This has been because in some cases a lot of organizations have decided to just go and smack a well, or thinking that just digging a well is a solution to the long distances that in some cases women have to walk in rural areas to collect water. And that sometimes also that the thinking is that a well improves the quality of life. Well, yes. I say yes. I mean, it's obviously you are trying to access fresh water. If you come with me with potable water, it still is fresh water. But just digging wells, just draining the water in itself, just thinking about an aquifer is an irresponsible approach. Now, I've spoken about the potential threat of just draining an aquifer, or sometimes as it's referred to as an underground river. There is no such thing as an underground river. If there is an underground river, then it's technically based upon the dry river systems that Namibia has. Because when it rains, those rivers can flow, but those riverbeds are actually very good drainage points. And that's also sometimes how these aquifers get replenished. But it does not say that you drinking equates to the replenishment rate that takes that, or the rainfall rate that replenishes the aquifer, on sort of like a 1:1 scenario. No, it doesn't. It doesn't. In some places, an aquifer would have taken 100,000 years to get to the point where it currently is. In other places, an aquifer, you know, just because of the types of topsoil that exists, for example, like dry river beds, which are easy drainage points for water to seep right through into the aquifer space, for sure. But if you come and ask me now, why can't Marintal make use of the aquifer that it's standing on? Anyone that is a geologist would tell you, but that is insanity that you want to talk about. Because at Marintal, it's the thinnest spot between the Earth's surface and that aquifer. I will stress it again. It's the thinnest spot, so it can pose an engineering disaster. But then ultimately, still stressing on to some of the, you know, most important stuff, is that if aquifers are not managed properly, for example, the International Institute of Environment and Development indicated that $360 million have been spent on rural water supply schemes, which are now deemed or understood to be dysfunctional. Now, this equates to approximately 50,000 water points or pieces of infrastructure that have been installed, but they don't work anymore. But they don't work anymore. Now, added onto this also is unsustainable extraction. Unsustainable extraction is where that this takes place through a myriad of ways, and that the consequences can be devastating. Now, understanding this specific aspect, because fresh water, as mentioned, will become a commodity of the future. In some parts of the world, it already is. It has been categorized as a commodity. But fresh water will become the major or the next scramble. There is a lot of thinking in the world, all across the world, going on currently, in terms of how to protect this resource. And there's also a lot of thinking, which is technically the most devious of the thinking, in terms of how to protect this resource, but actually to slap a price on it. Meaning, if you want water in your tap, you will have to pay to keep the tap open. Now, I'm not talking about a municipality as you and I understand it. No. I'm talking about another third body, another third party, or a fourth party, if you look at it in Namibia's sense. Look, we've already got NamWater. But let's, for example, say NamWater decides to bring in a contractor that says, yeah, we will manage the water resource or the water sources in that regard. Well, that person wants money, obviously, for the time and the labor and the skills and the whatever they're going to bring to the agreement. So that would easily make water a little bit more expensive. Now, just imagine that. In some parts of the world, this kind of scenario is taking place, is actually being looked at. Now, it is devious in its nature. In other parts, in some schools of thought, they would indicate that this is just a form of doing business, of actually creating more value and ensuring that there is no degradation of infrastructure to some point or an extent. Now, fresh water, guys, is a challenge in Namibia. It is something that we have to protect. It is something that needs to be managed accordingly, for sure. But fresh water is life in Namibia. Now, for us just to be howling at the skies and saying, listen, we need to achieve food security in one sense, needs to be properly managed. Secondly, onto that is another discussion. The amount of domesticated animals, or not domesticated animals, sorry, that's the incorrect term to use. The amount of livestock that we find in specific, concentrated, or that is concentrated in specific areas of our country, also needs to be managed.
Paratus Mobile LTE. Everything you want, whenever you want it. Start uploading, downloading, liking, and sharing all your experiences with the world. Starting from $345 Namibian per month, excluding VAT for postpaid. Get online with high-speed internet the way you want it. Visit paratus.africa/NA for more information.
Hello, Namibia. Welcome to the world of Lela Pay. Lela Pay is an easy-to-use payment and booking mobile app that allows you to send out classified adverts or messages to your consumers and have them published in real time. What can you do on Lela Pay? Place classified adverts and messages on the Eagle FM app, Imba app, Lela Pay app, and place adverts in the Villager and many more vendors. You can also make payments. One can place messages of any events, including promotion, invitations, birthday wishes, funeral notices, and any announcement you wish to announce on a national level, starting from $3.50 per message. So, how does it work? Download Lela Pay app and open the app. Step 1. Register an account for free and log in to your account. Step 2. Go to your wallet balance and fund your account by filling in the required details. Step 3. Once registered, go to the vendor icons and select a vendor of your choice, Eagle FM or The Villager. Step 4. Schedule your message, type it out, and press send. Step 5. Once sent, your message or advert will shortly get published on the Eagle FM app, Imba app, Lela Pay, or the Villager newspaper. You also have the option to submit artworks for your adverts. Send these to digital@omalaiti.com and they will be published shortly. To be added onto the vendor list, contact us at 081-203-9633 or 083-288-400 or simply email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Lela Pay. Download it today. Available in the App Store and Google Play.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6%, is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Now, as we come back from our extended break right there, and just heading into the last leg of today's program here on your number one talk radio station, the key thing with fresh water, even with food security, even with the carrying capacity of livestock, is that it will have to be sort of like controlled. It'll have to be monitored. I stress this, guys, because listen, look at this example, just in its most basic facts. The more animals you will have on a specifically concentrated piece of land or area of land, who means that these animals would need more feed and water. If you want to expand on a crop, I keep forgetting the word, crop, what do they call that thing? Man, I have the word in Afrikaans, but I don't have the word now in English. But it's almost like the expanse of land, a tract of land. If you want more land in order to increase yields, It's one of two questions, and I already covered this one question on Wednesday night session in terms of like the year-round cultivation or harvesting period or cultivation period in order to increase the yield from a specific land, but then you end up exhausting the land or actually depleting the land from its minerals. The challenge then becomes next, which is always the automatic answer for crop farmers, is that they want more land. Now, when you want more land, that still means more water. But if you already were working in multiple harvest cycles within a calendar year, for example, let's say every 3 months you would harvest, and then the land does not have the opportunity to recover. It becomes depleted. Then the next option would always, and already there, you're using more water. Now, when you start seeing depletion taking place or increased rates of depletion, you then decide, let me acquire more land. So that includes clearing the land and then cultivating it and then extending further water resources towards it, which increases your water intake. Even though you are increasing your yield or still trying to maintain a level of consistent yield, you'll be using more water. Now, it's something that a lot of people think is divided or subtracted or spoken of separate to the climate discussion. In most cases, people talk about climate discussion as if the climate change discussion is all about just rising sea levels. And if you come and say, yeah, rising sea levels means that we will have more water to tap into. But then do you know how expensive is a desalination plant is to maintain, to operate and to construct? Do you know how expensive it is? And looking at the roadmap ahead where desalination plants or any sort of desalination plant will have to serve the purpose or be added into the whole process of the green hydrogen component or project or projects. Yeah. Yeah. So that will mean it's not even for us in effect to a point, not entirely, because it has an economic purpose to serve. But mind you, in terms of the carrying capacity with regards to agriculture is facing a very stiff challenge. Look, guys, I actually support, deep down in my heart, since my mother was a farmer's daughter, deep down in my heart, I do have empathy and sympathy, both for any kind of agrarian society in our country, whether you are a livestock farmer or whether you are a crop farmer. I do have some form of empathy, sympathy, and support for you. Because just like the mining industry, agriculture is a foundational building block of an economy of a country. It's a foundation. An economy is built on the agricultural sort of like trade or sector. Because you are feeding. You are aimed to feed and provide food or a product. For example, if it was like cotton or, you know, silk or any of those kinds of other agricultural products that cannot be eaten, you know, you cannot ingest them. They add into a different process, industrial process. I understand and I support such a function, such an industry. I'm not against it. But then I'm indicating the competition that exists for fresh water. And agriculture is already facing one of its stiffest challenges. The stiffest challenge that it's actually facing is all about streamlining the process. Streamlining means you channel it, but you can maintain the channel. Streamlining the process wherein it just keeps the industrial and manufacturing, as well as also the production levels at a constant level, consistent levels. But the competition for water will be intense. The competition for fresh water will be intense. Now, I'm not going to go into the mining. Essentially, because the mining complexes have, they have, what do they call it? Life cycles. A mine has a life cycle. It's like a product. It's like a normal product or like a human. It has a life cycle, a mine. But the life cycle is only based upon how large the deposit is, or sometimes the demand factors that exist outside of Namibia, which Namibia cannot control, for example. So a mine has a life cycle. So let's leave the mine out of there. But the mine still, or mines in the country, will also be competing for fresh water. Look, we don't have to worry about some mines that use desalination plants, like the Arriva mine at, or Arriva at the coast, that had the desalination plant there. Obviously, they realized they can't tap into the same water source or the same water resource that Swakopmund and Walvis Bay were dependent on. So they had to construct their own with a desalination plant, and it was also there to serve the purpose that Arriva had. Now, if you don't know who Arriva is, Arriva is also one of France's biggest mining companies. And I'm speaking under correction. I think they had one of the uranium mines at the coast, because Arriva is no longer in the country. So Arriva itself had a purpose. They identified what they needed to do, and they needed water. Now, for anyone that thinks that a mine does not need water, it's one of the biggest fallacies or traps that you can actually step into, because a mine needs a lot of water. But I'm not going to talk about the mines, because the mines have life cycles. You then get into where we will be looking at in terms of the next 5 to 10 years, urban area expansions. Urban area expansions will actually be driven by birth rates, investments, foreign direct investment, and also where our economy wants to see itself. Because towns will only expand if there are investments going to take place. Jobs will be created. People will start having more babies and marrying, and they will need more houses and accommodation and all that kind of stuff. And the towns will just start expanding and expanding and expanding a lot more. But those towns will need water. Now, I know, guys, we're close to the end, but you will be asking, so where was the climate discussion? The climate discussion is permeating everywhere throughout the past hour that I've been talking to you. You see, I started with increased temperatures, or warmer temperatures that will increase evaporation rates in the country. And I'm ending at expanding town centers or expanding urban areas that will need more water when they expand. And that's the opposite spectrum of construction. Because if you have more businesses in a town, the town planners have to see, okay, what water goes to the business sector and what water goes to the residential sectors. That's beside the point when there are still the expansions taking place, like the manufacturing. The construction of buildings and houses and developments, which will need water. Now, I know, guys, not many economists or business shows have spoken about water, fresh water for that matter. Not everyone has. But the key thing here is, unfortunately, water is life. Water is life. Now, it needs to be maintained. It needs to be monitored. It needs to be controlled. And it needs to be protected. It needs to be. It has to be. You cannot ignore it. You cannot ignore it. And the next 5 to 10 years, guys, will be a tricky landscape.
So, jy het dit gedoen. Jy het jou laat besny.
Jep,
dit was baie dapper. Was dit nie frekseer nie?
Dit was net so effens seer, maar dit is die moeite werd om myself teen seksueel oordraagbare infeksies te beskerm. En dit is soveel makliker om skoon te hou.
Wel, as jy dit so stel, dan moet ek dit dalk ook laat doen.
Bra, dit is die regte ding om te doen. Man Up, kry 'n besnyding. Om 'n gratis besnyding te bespreek of om meer uit te vind, stuur 'n WhatsApp boodskap na 081-309-2729 of besoek ons Facebookblad by VMMC Namibia.
Now, just ending off today's program, you can catch me over the weekend over on the early morning session, early morning Sunday session, and then we will see each other at the beginning of the next week. However, stay tuned here on your number one talk radio station for Pulling the Heartstrings, here on your number one talk radio station of Eagle FM.